All right. Thank you, Brandon. We are not having children's church this morning. Everyone's here in the service with us. That's why we've got this coloring tablecloths, mostly for the adults, I think. So kids, keep an eye on your parents as they color. But today, as we mentioned, is a little different. Obviously, we're sitting around tables. And so one of the things that will be a little different this morning is that we normally, each week here at City Hope, we celebrate the Lord's Supper together in each worship service. And we will celebrate the Lord's Supper together, but we're actually going to do it as a part of our meal. So partway through the meal, we will actually celebrate the Lord's Supper together as we're gathered around tables together. And so that won't be a part of our worship service here this morning. But it is coming as we celebrate together the resurrection. So we've been walking through the Gospel of John in this sermon series, Believe, and we find ourselves right at the resurrection story in John chapter 20. We meditated together on Friday on John 18 and 19. We read through that section at our Good Friday service and prepared our hearts for this morning and the resurrection. Well, this week, if you were able to, I hope you had a chance to watch the Artemis II launch, the rocket launch into space for a pretty historic mission, sending humans further into deep space than ever before. It's a truly incredible thing to watch. And yet also this week, hundreds of missiles were launched. Some of them were intercepted. Many landed on targets throughout the world, killing hundreds. God has gifted humanity with the raw materials of the earth and with being stamped in His image, the capacity for incredible development, creation, and power. And we can see that on display, used for good and used for evil in the same week. Used for good, for exploration, for advancement, or used for death and destruction. My question to you this morning is, how do you see the story of the world? Is the story of the world in your mind a hopeful, do you have a hopeful outlook on the story of the world? Looking forward into the future, pushing into deep space, a hopeful outlook? Or is it a sad outlook? Humans are gonna human. And we have the propensity to royally mess things up, to break and harm and destroy. Do you have a sad outlook or a hopeful outlook? I want to suggest to us this morning that we actually need to combine these two things together, and that the Easter story does just that. We cannot avoid the painful or the difficult, and yet we cannot avoid the glorious hope. On one end, if we ignore the destruction, we get a blind optimism that does no good in a violent world of empire, of war, and of destruction. On the other hand, if we deny hope, if we refuse to open our eyes to hope, we may end up in depressing cynicism. Which path are you on? Which outlook do you have upon the world? This morning, I want us to journey together with Mary Magdalene and a band of scared disciples to the tomb of Jesus. And if we do, we may discover what they discover, an empty tomb. And we may declare, what, along with Mary, I have seen the Lord. And so as we read this morning, as I read this from John 20, I want you to experience this text. And maybe if it's something that you are very familiar with, put yourself in the place of the disciples, in the place of Mary on this Easter morning. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. What happens when you get to write your own part of the gospel is that you write that you were faster than your friend. It's one of my favorite parts in the Gospel of John. The disciple whom Jesus loved could run faster than Peter. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied. "And I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. "I have seen the Lord." Mary comes very early in the morning. Mary comes when it's still dark. Mary comes not expecting the resurrection. She does not come expecting to find Jesus. It's one of the most telling things of this account. All four Gospels attest to this story of an empty tomb. And one of the most telling things is the disciples' response was not after the cross to go camp out and wait because they knew Jesus was coming. No, even though he had told them that he would rise again, he did so vaguely, and so they did not expect this. Their hopes were dashed. The one that they had welcomed into Jerusalem with praises, Hosanna, the one who comes, the King of Israel, the one who will redeem us, the one who has promised to crush the serpent has come, and now he is dead and our hopes are gone. And Mary comes not expecting to see a miracle. She comes to weep. She comes to continue the Jewish burial ritual, to come and to anoint the body yet again. She comes not to see a miracle, but to weep. For some of us, we feel like we can't come to the joy of Easter because of our doubts, because of our lack of faith, because of our refusal to believe in miracles. If that's where you are, you're in good company with Mary in this story. She comes to the tomb not in expectation and hope, but in frustration and pain. But if you're going to come to the tomb with Mary, you need to realize that you are coming near a tomb. We don't like death. We want to flee death. Some of us refuse to go near the tomb. We don't want to go near the hard things in life. But you can't actually see the joy of Easter without the pain of Good Friday. We can't get the hope of the resurrection without the pain of Lent. It's why we give things up. It's why we were fasting throughout the time of Lent in various ways, was to prepare our hearts for the hope of the resurrection. You can't have an empty tomb if that tomb wasn't once filled with a body. Mary could not have seen the Lord had she not had the boldness to go near to the place of death. Sometimes, our lack of genuine joy in the Lord, sometimes our lack of worship of King Jesus is because we try to worship without approaching death, pain, and suffering. Serena and I were talking this week about songs as we were planning Good Friday, and the reality that so many songs can't just sit in the Good Friday, they jump to the resurrection story too quickly. So if you were here on Friday, you may have noticed some of the songs we sang, we didn't actually sing all the verses, because we actually want to sit in the Good Friday. We can't experience the glories of the reality of the resurrection without the painful parts of the story. We can't experience the hope we need in our own lives without entering into the painful parts of our own story. Now, maybe for some of you, you're thinking, yes, that's true. That's challenging. I do need to think about the painful things. But I think for a lot of us at City Hope, we actually dwell in the painful things a lot. That there's been a lot of painful things. For some of us, we go near the tomb and weep. But we never look in the tomb to see if it's empty. Some of us, we're in a place of pain, lament, brokenness, sorrow for what God has allowed, for what the church has done, maybe to us or to others that we know and love, for what others have done to us, and for what we have done to ourselves. And we refuse to be hopeful. We refuse to look in the tomb because we are convinced it still has Jesus' body in it. Why? Because that's the natural explanation of things, of course. A tomb in which a dead person was laid would still have a dead person. And we, looking around at the world and the brokenness and the pain that we have experienced, tend towards cynicism. That there is nothing else but the natural explanation of things, that things die and end. Now, if we are to be hopeful, we can't deny the pain that we've experienced or minimize it. Actually, it makes sense. If you don't think that we should just sit and weep at the tomb, you probably aren't paying attention to the world around us. There are many reasons to sit and weep at the tomb. But friends, the tomb is empty. The tomb is actually empty. It's actually empty, and it's not just empty. Look at the details that John adds. The shroud that they put around Jesus' head is actually folded up. It's folded up. What a sign of the power of Jesus' resurrection. The sign that you have fully conquered me, the death shroud around my head, I gently folded, because my weakness is greater than your strength. Go in and look in the tomb. Go near to the tomb and look. I know that you all have been through a lot. There was a lot of pain. I know that you all are paying attention to the brokenness of the world around us, and that you see these things, and that you recognize the pain of them. But Mary knew this kind of pain and sorrow. The disciples knew this kind of pain and sorrow. Jesus knew this kind of pain and sorrow. Go in and look. See for yourself. Look in the scriptures. Look in history, in the lives of the people of God. Nothing makes sense of the history of the early church or the way in which it transformed the entire world other than Jesus raising from the dead. The tomb actually being empty. It's the only thing that makes sense of the way in which the disciples who we have tracked through this book, for them to go from those who are disbelieving, doubting, running the other way, hiding away at the crucifixion, to those who are boldly proclaiming that nothing, not even death, can stop the advancement of the gospel. The only way that that's possible is if death didn't stop Jesus. And he actually rose from the dead. And look at your own story and your own life. The evidence is everywhere. The evidence is everywhere. First, that there is a tomb. That death and brokenness and pain and sorrow surround your life. Look for it. And second, look for the fact that the tomb is empty. That Jesus is actually victorious. That it is finished. That he has accomplished everything needed for salvation, and that he rose from the dead so that any and all, anyone with any background, from any place, from every tribe, tongue, language, and nation can come and experience the goodness of God, be forgiven of sins, and have eternal life forever with Jesus. And from there, worship Jesus and witness about him. Worship Jesus. The fact that Jesus immediately tells Mary, "Don't cling to me," means that Mary's first response in recognizing Jesus was to rush to him, grab a hold of him, and cling to him. But Jesus says, "Don't cling to me yet, I have not ascended." I don't know what he means by that. But I do know this. He has now ascended. So disciple, as you hear Jesus declare your name, cling to him. Worship him. He is good. Yes, there is great sorrow and brokenness in the world, but because the tomb is empty, we can worship Jesus. We can cling to Jesus. We can cry out to him. We can come near to him. We can experience more and more of his goodness. We can worship Jesus. And then we can witness about Jesus. Mary declares, she runs back to the disciples and she declares, "I have seen the Lord." Now, we're going to continue to walk through the rest of John the next few weeks and some of the other interactions that Jesus has with the disciples. But it would have been very easy to be asked very quickly, "Well, how is that possible?" And I'm sure Mary was, and I'm sure her response was, "I don't know, but I know what I saw. I've seen the Lord." Sometimes the church
Sometimes as Christians, we have too many answers to questions that don't actually have answers. Sometimes we can actually just sit in the mystery and say, I don't know. But there's no other way to explain what God has done in my life than that Jesus rose from the dead. I've seen the Lord. We don't need to answer every question or concern. We don't need to deny the painful parts of the story, the hard parts of the story. The tomb is real, but the tomb is now empty. And so we can witness about who Jesus is. We can declare the reality of our own story in the midst of experiencing Jesus. And the best part of witnessing about Jesus is simply worshiping Him. Simply worshiping and enjoying Jesus. Feasting and enjoying Him with one another. And so the best way for us to witness about the reality of Jesus' resurrection is to enter into those parts of our story together that are painful with the hope of the resurrection. To call one another, not to a joy that is a blind optimism that looks the other way, keeps our head in the sand and doesn't look at the reality of the world, but to call one another out of the potential of entering into cynicism that God won't show up, He can't show up, it's too much, it's too hard, I can't go there. God has disappointed me over and over and over again. I'm not trusting Him again. Mary had every reason to be there. The disciples had every reason to be there. And yet, that's exactly where Jesus showed up. So I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know where you're at with the Lord. I don't know what specific thing you are clinging to say, God, I'm trusting you for something and you keep not showing up. I don't know what that is, and I don't know why God does the things He does. What I do know is if we will get close to the Lord Jesus and weep, He'll whisper our name. We may not recognize it right away, but if we're willing to go to the deep, dark, difficult places, like a tomb, we will find that the tomb is empty. Because the tomb exists, we can know that it is finished. That Jesus has accomplished everything for salvation. And because it is finished, the tomb is empty. Christ is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's try that one more time. All right, let's get this a little bit more. Christ is risen. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we come to you now because you're good. Lord, we come with our pain because we know you see it. Lord, we come because you didn't rebuke Mary and say, Mary, you lack such faith. You just whispered her name. We come because the hope is that when we come to the deep and painful places, you are there resurrecting all things. Jesus, we come and we worship you because you are the first fruits of the life of the world to come. You rose from the dead so that any and all who trust in you will one day rise from the dead and be ushered into the kingdom of the new heavens and new earth, where we will feast together as God's people in resurrected life. Jesus, the world is broken and dark. Would you protect us from cynicism? Lord, would you keep us realistic and honest about the world around us? But Lord, would you protect us from cynicism? And would you cause deep hope? Because the tomb is empty. Because Jesus, you rose from the dead. And we can declare, I have seen the Lord. Jesus, now, as we worship you, as we sing together, and then as we feast together as your people, Jesus, would you gain all glory and honor and praise? You are our King, and we invite you here. Holy Spirit, would you descend upon us, fill us, give us your grace? And Jesus, would you gain all glory and honor, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.